Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Questions for John Jansen, advice, guidance, all of it. Heather, you want to start us out?
I'll start, yeah. This one is the movie theater issue. Dear John, I went to the Wicked movie with my wife and two daughters. They're 9 and 11. Warning, it's in nearly 3 hours if anyone else is going. And John, if you didn't know, it's a musical, which is not my thing, but it was a family outing and I actually thought it was all right. Well, during the show, both my daughters started singing along during some of the songs. When I got up to use the bathroom, a theater staffer asked me if I could tell my girls to refrain from doing that because it's disruptive. I apologized and said something to them when I sat back down, but my wife was upset. She felt like it was harmless and part of being at a musical movie. She thinks I shouldn't have corrected them at all. Was I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, if that guy has a problem with it, you go tell him. I mean, it is a musical. I know this has been, I've heard this on the news, right? Mm-hmm. There are actual showing times where they encourage the singing, and there's other times where they say, hey, we don't want people to be singing along.
Oh, that's kind
of
cool.
Now, if you're going one that has the asterisk next to it that says, this is not a sing-along, please be quiet. If you go into it knowing that, then I think you should respect that, you know, those parameters. If you go into it knowing that there are going to be singing, but you don't want to hear it, then don't go to that one. Like, I think there's different ones that you can go to. But if it's just a random one, it's not delineated. Hey, if you're going to sing along, if you know the song, go for it. I don't care.
I think I would care a little bit. Yeah, I mean, it's the same as somebody it's not the same as somebody talking during a movie because clearly they're using different words during the, like I. But if I'm there, I'm there to see the film. I want to hear Ariana Grande sing. I want to hear their performance, not the person sitting next to me. I don't think it's wrong for the dad to say something to the kids by any means, but I
what if you go to a funny movie and people keep laughing? You're like, oh, it's funny, but I want to hear people laugh.
Yeah, but they don't laugh the whole time. They all chuckle and then
I get dirty looks because I laugh at some weird times. Like when something I think is weird or I laugh out loud and my wife will literally look at me and be like, I can't believe you just did that.
That's okay. I mean, I would probably do the same thing as Lisa.
Yeah.
Side eye. What the
really?
Heck, man?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But the laughing doesn't last.
Yeah. You shouldn't be singing unless it's one of those screenings where
I didn't know
encouraged.
That. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's been a big deal. I'm not going to go see it, nor do I. I wouldn't be one singing along, but I wouldn't be offended if somebody did.
This next one is a Christmas dilemma. Dear John, this year for Christmas, my husband and I decided to not get each other gifts. Money's tight. We're prioritizing the kids. I know women sometimes say they don't want something, but I actually mean it. My fear is he won't believe me. He'll get me something anyway, and I will be there empty-handed. Do I break the agreement? What if he honors it? And then I make him feel bad. My current plan is to stick to our agreement. If he gets me something, my backup plan is to reward him with some time on the naughty list.
Oh.
Is that a good plan?
Yeah. 100%. That covers up everything that might go wrong in a day.
Yeah. Well, why can't? Okay. I always think you have to. You cannot show up to an event empty-handed. Like even if we agreed, even if Kyle and I
home,
said,
right? So you're not showing up to an event.
Wife.
Yeah.
To me, though, Christmas Day is still an event, in my house, in the living room. Like, even if we said, hey, we're not going to do gifts, I still would feel weird not having something for Colin to open. There's things you can do where you don't need to spend money. And it could, if this is what she'd like to reward him with, she could do, I know it's cheesy, but do one of those little coupon books.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
For no money spent, yeah. But still something for him to open.
Yeah, with no expiration date.
Exactly.
Don't show up empty-handed.
Well, but okay, here's the backup plan. Because we've kind of done this before where, and I know she's going to get something, is you get something, but you don't have it under the tree. And then if she presents you with a gift, then you say, well, you know what? I was going to surprise you with this later. No, it's not that, but it's, you know, and then you go get it. And if she follows through and doesn't get you something, you keep the receipt and you just return it.
You always have a gift. Always have something to open.
Yeah, yep. Something ready, but yep. You don't have to.
All right, the next one is hiring family. Dear John, I quit my job to start a data analytics company 2 years ago, and it is now booming. I'm really happy, and money isn't a concern anymore for me and my wife, who both come from poor backgrounds. We've been hiring for marketing, HR, and social media manager roles as the company is growing so fast, and my aunt is trying to get me to hire my cousin. I wasn't really sure I want to because my cousin has no marketable skills, at least in this industry. He's worked in restaurants a bit, but no skills for what we need and no tech knowledge. I could technically train him on a junior position, but the bigger problem is how he got fired from his last job. He worked for a family friend and got fired because he said some racist stuff to a coworker.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know the whole story, and the family friend no longer talks to us. My wife doesn't want me to risk the company's reputation, and I agree with her. Are we being unfair or callous? Is hiring family a bad idea?
It's a bad deal, especially in this situation. The answer is absolutely no. And that's an easy one to say, okay, well, you know, interview the aunt. Why did he get fired? All right. Well, he spewed racist comments. No, I can't have that in our work environment. Absolutely not.
Yeah, absolutely
and if he has
not.
No skill, even without that, he has no skills.
And there's your excuse. If you feel like this is going to be awkward, it's family, what do I say? That's your out. Hey, I'm sorry. We're really looking for somebody who has experience in this, this, and this. And clearly the guy would know, oh, that's not me. I mean,
the reason we're successful is because we don't hire bums like you.
Well, you don't need to say it like that.
You're saying it without saying it. And that's the other key here, too, is if you hire family, it's an awkward thing if you have to ever have to discipline them or punish them or fire them.
Okay, down the road. All right. If it doesn't work out or you did the solid, but are you supposed to just completely keep them on as a freeloader for the rest of the time? Because it becomes even more awkward than when you fire them.
Yeah, mixing business and family is a tough one.
So next one says, pressure at work. Dear John, I work at a high-pressure job at one of the top firms in the country. I inherited a great situation, but I just haven't been measuring up. 4 straight years I've failed to deliver in some of our company's biggest moments. It's causing me to feel insecure, and admittedly, I'm in my own head. My pride was challenged, and I feel like I've gone too far trying to prove I can do it, quote, the right way. What should I do to finally be successful, Ryan in Columbus?
Find a less pressure job. You may be asked to, but if the pressure is getting to you, the pressure is getting to your family. You've made a lot of money. You've been very successful in a lot of different ways. There are other jobs available.
That's amazing. That's good advice. I do think, you know, maybe it's just not the right fit for you, and that's okay. There's different fits for different people and skill sets, and this is clearly a job that maybe it's just too big for you.
I don't know. I mean, I think the question then becomes, has Ryan just been broken?
Like, it sounds broken.
Does this then, if he takes another job, does this transfer to whatever quote-unquote rival that is? Now, there's different levels where the rivals aren't as fierce. You could go to the NFL game, and I know there's Cowboys, Commanders.
Play caller. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, so yeah, there's rivalry. But again, even at that level, the rivalries aren't as pressure packed.
Yes. Yeah, Ryan, I think you're in a real tough spot.
Yes. Or just hire somebody and actually let them do their I think if you
surround yourself with better people.
Yeah. If you had a guy that you hired, say a Chip, You know, let Chip do his job and do what he was hired to do. You don't have to interfere and say, no, we want to do it this way because we just want to prove something.
And that is this week's Dear John. It's 97.1.
Hey, we all know the winter driving season is upon us. It all took us a little bit longer to get into work today, and reckless drivers are everywhere. They can't seem to keep their own cars under control. So if you've been injured in an auto accident during this or any time of year, you need an injury attorney that will be responsive to your needs and aggressive against the insurance companies. Injury attorney that you need to hire is David Femininio. You can pick up the phone right now and speak to David personally by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Lions game day today. We're going to get into it. Hope to win, expect to win. Lions and Packers tonight at Ford Field. Got Heather's news. Got a note here.
Oh, yeah?
Walter Payton, Man of the Year nominees.
Ooh, how many are on that list?
32. Every team gets one.
Oh, yeah. I guess that would be 32, yeah. I didn't know if there was one from multiple team or multiple from one team.
No. The Lions, Walter Payton, Man of the Year nominee. Jared Goff.
Okay. All right. Good dude. See him on doing his charitable contributions all over town.
Yep. I started looking up, okay, quarterbacks. How often does the quarterback win this award? Dak Prescott won it in 22. Russell Wilson in 2020. Eli Manning, 2016. Kurt Warner, Drew Brees. Obviously, Drew Brees, New Orleans. Hello, right. Post-Katrina. Peyton Manning. So, hey, quarterbacks. They get
it's
in
not
there.
Exclusively a quarterback award.
No, not like the MVP. I mean, the reigning Walter Payton Man of the Year award winner is Cameron Hayward.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh Steeler, and Andrew Whitworth's won it, and Calais Campbell. So yeah, this. But Jared Goff's our guy in more ways than one.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good luck to him. Hope he wins it.
Do you have? And I'm not going to do all 32, but is there a team that you're curious?
No.
Okay. Never mind. We have some ticket text from Dear John. You're honest. I can ask for is honesty. Let's not waste people's time. Ticket texter says on some of the Dear John questions on Ryan's dilemma. Mm-hmm. Never quit, Ryan. Yep. Stick it out. Show them you're a real man. You're tougher and smarter than everybody. Never forget it. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing is, you know, it just sooner or later, you think he'll get it right? Or does he just end up like some of the other competitors or hires that they've had, like John?
Right. I mean,
that was one that we wanted to last for a long time.
Yep. As you've like let this Ohio State Ryan Day thing like simmer the last few days, what do you think actually happens? Do they fire him?
No.
I don't think they will either.
No, he's had 10 losses. I mean, 40% of them have been against Michigan. But, you know, when you other than this one where it's an unranked team, like he's lost to the number one team in the country by 1 point this year. He lost in a national championship game. Like he's had tremendous success. Other than Big Ten championships or national championships.
What was the quote? He's the Michael Jordan of James Franklin's. Like the greatest just short in the big games. Yeah. He's been there, right? I mean, if a field goal goes through the uprights.
The goat of coming up short?
Yes, that's who Ryan Day is. He is the greatest of all time at coming up short. About having a loaded roster, winning all of the games but the biggest game.
Yeah.
And at Ohio State, the standard's just so high there that eats away at them.
Keep spending money.
And that's part of the problem, right? He's got a buyout north of $30 million. They've already spent 20 on the roster. If Vrabel's not considering coaching college, John, I don't know who they even really pursue. I could throw out a name, but it's also equally going to be difficult for them. Marcus Freeman, he played at Ohio State, but I don't know that he's leaving Notre Dame. So if there's no obvious answer, they're probably running him back next year.
You know, he goes conservative when he least needs to.
Yeah.
I felt that going 2 years ago, the game in Ann Arbor, where Michigan won 30-24. I thought he went conservative at times in that game. It's like the end of the half. They were driving the ball, and then they just kind of drained the clock to attempt a field goal.
Right.
There was some of that in the Georgia loss in the semis where they could have gotten closer potentially. had he been more aggressive instead of making that a 50-yarder. You know, I don't know. Like, he's the thing about Ohio State, I've always thought they have more talent than Michigan almost all the time. And he doesn't trust it in, like, the most important moments. And then he allowed the physical thing to get in his head.
Yeah, so, I think the only argument you could make about not having more talent than Michigan would have been last year. Other than that, yeah, they've always had more talent. And, I mean, they've had talent when they've been able to be explosive. Like, down the field talent.
Well, I felt that game last year.
Well, it was
close. That game was so close, and Michigan really got out of there. Like, I thought Sharon Moore called the perfect game.
Yeah.
Watching that in person. I did.
And before the season started, obviously I had a higher opinion of Michigan than most, and it didn't pan out that way. But when I thought Michigan was going to win this year before the season played itself out was when they rushed Kyle McCord out of town, pinning that loss on him, and they went with Will Howard. Kyle McCord is a better quarterback than Will Howard. They downgraded at the quarterback position and put a quarterback that lost one game, they put it all on him.
Ticket Texture says, I feel like Heather might not have known the Ryan and Columbus reference and was thinking you guys are terrible people, Nate and Clausen.
Oh, no, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
But if someone didn't know and we're just like, yeah, this guy's a total loser.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Probably going to have to find a new job. Yes.
Yeah, I was wondering where you're going with it, and then you said signed Ryan. I'm like, got it. Yep.
We're going to focus
on... So in case you are missing the reference of John, that would be John Cooper.
Yes. Another guy who couldn't get it done in the rivalry. All right, we're going to get to Lions and Packers talk, but first, here's Heather with the news.
So early this morning, we were talking about how police are searching for the gunman that killed the CEO of United Healthcare. No, they haven't caught him from what I see, but there were three words that were reportedly discovered on the bullet casings that were found at the crime scene.
Whoa.
So, I mean, this is a deep story. I mean, very, very targeted. It says the words deny, defend, and depose were reportedly discovered by the detectives on shell casings found at the scene where Brian Thompson was fatally shot.
So I know that one of the meetings or the thing that he was going to, and I know the United Healthcare has been embroiled in a, you know, certain executives sold stock before the stock fell. A lot of people that were stockholders lost a lot of money. I don't know all the details, but I know that there was a financial aspect to it.
This is so wild. So this, I mean,
they were being investigated.
I hope they find this guy very soon. Yeah. Obviously, we know the only thing we know is that he took off on foot and then got on an e-bike, went towards Central Park. Yeah. He had a hooded jacket on. He had a mask on his face and he had a backpack.
It's
crazy.
And whatever you think somebody might have done legally, illegally, it
doesn't justify
a hitman execution.
He's 50 years old. Yeah. Man. A Detroit woman won a prize for being the 1 millionth People Mover rider.
Oh.
So that's exciting news. Yeah, the People Mover held a contest on Wednesday morning. This woman, Lynetta Hinton of Detroit, emerged as the lucky winner, and she received a VIP package that included a People Mover art book, an umbrella, a t-shirt, gift cards, and a whole lot of goodies. She says she's going to celebrate by bringing her grandkids down to ride the People Mover. And the 1 millionth rider came after obviously they opened the People Mover back up ahead of Thanksgiving because it was closed down for 11 weeks so they could remove and fix part of the original track.
She got a People Mover picture book?
Yeah. She sure did.
Yeah, a coffee table.
Yeah, it's exactly what it's for. There were just over 650,000 riders in 2023, but the People Mover saw a big surge in ridership because of
the draft.
Yeah, so pretty cool.
Did you see, by the way, the new rap on the People Mover, John?
No.
Oh, I didn't. What is it?
It's the Detroit Lions offensive line.
Oh, cool.
Oh, is it really? That's
the
cool.
People Mover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Cool. An Oakland County gymnastics photographer has been sentenced to federal prison for the distribution of child porn.
Enjoy your time in there.
Talked about this guy before. Gross. According to authorities, this 59-year-old David Yellen had used this peer-to-peer file sharing software to distribute these images over the internet. And he had worked as a photographer and videographer at multiple youth gymnastic events over the years. They searched his home back in 2023. They found more than 2 million files of child porn on his devices. More than 50,000 photos were also taken of children's bare feet at gyms where he had worked. So on Tuesday, he was sentenced to 84 months in federal prison, followed by 10 years of supervised release. This is a great story. Earlier this week, there was a story that went viral about this 94-year-old Detroit woman who had a crumbling roof. The roof was just in tatters, right? Rain was getting in. Squirrels were getting into her home. Neighbors had been trying to help raise money since July to get this woman a new roof. Well, the story went viral and a company stepped up and did it for free. Fixed this woman's roof. They refused any of the. So a neighbor started a GoFundMe. She tried to pay them the money that had been raised. They said, no, we don't want your money. We want to fix this roof. It's the holiday season. We're going to do this for you. So she says she's going to use the GoFundMe money. Some of it will go towards winter taxes, property taxes, but the rest she's going to donate to a local church. So
it's awesome.
Very nice story for sure. Joe Burrow, one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, and he found an interesting, kind of cool way to spend some of those millions. So on HBO's Hard Knocks, he revealed that he bought a Batmobile.
So we had that, that story a while ago.
It's a replica Batmobile, right? Fully functional, but not street legal, if I remember the story correctly.
Correct.
Anyway, he bought one. Take a listen.
Yeah, anyway, 5 or 7 touchdowns and still lose.
It's about a $3 million Batmobile.
$2.99 million. Have you seen some of the details on this? 6.2 liter General Motors engine.
Yes.
500 horsepower. Smokescreen delivery system. Oh boy. Imitation gun turrets.
Yes.
A jet engine simulator with no flames.
Oh, my goodness.
But I believe, if you're looking at the article, like, I don't think it's technically street legal because we talked about this. Like, okay, you're going to buy one. Where are you going to drive it?
Yeah, right? Pretty much wherever you want.
But he's going to drive it. There's only 10 official licensed, fully functional Batmobiles made. So he's got one of them.
Yeah, pretty badass.
Good for him.
Heather with the news. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you as they did me and work with you to build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We've been talking about the Lions-Packers all week, and it's finally going to be decided on the field tonight. And we've talked about injuries, and maybe some of you, it sounded like we're concerned they're going to lose tonight. John, you wanted to make that very clear today that you believe strongly, and I agree with you. We expect the Lions to win tonight.
I do. And I mean, if you missed the pick segment, again, go back on the Odyssey app, use a rewind feature and listen to it, but I'll kind of repeat some of the facts that I talked about. Yesterday, when I was thinking about the concern level, and then I started thinking, okay, let's go position by position or just side of the ball. Offense, to me, is much more dynamic and better than it was last year. You got a 1-2 tandem, and yeah, there were moments last year where it was Gibbs more at the end of the year than it was at the beginning of the year, and moments where it was Montgomery. But I think this offense, the backs, J-Mo coming on this year and giving that deep threat, Tim Reynolds being Patrick. Yeah, Tim Patrick. Oh, sorry.
Playing the role of Josh Reynolds.
Yes, there we go. I think he's been a good signing, and he has added to this offense. We haven't talked as much about Sam LaPorta because he hasn't had as big of a year as he had last year. But it's because they have so many weapons. They have so many different ways to attack you. And this offense is better than last year. Special teams, better than last year. I think Sione Vaki was a, it was a sneaky good draft pick because of what he offers them on special teams. Defense, the secondary is leaps and bounds better than it was last year. And they're banged up front. I get that. But I still think the defense at this point of the year, even banged up, is going to perform better than the defense did last year at the end of the year. And that's a defense that was part of an NFC championship run. So Packers coming in here, a team that has a quarterback that is third in the NFL, not having played every game in interceptions, he's going to give you opportunities. The Lions will take advantage of those opportunities, and the offense will capitalize on them.
The injuries, we've hit on them. They're going to miss Taylor Decker. They're going to miss three defensive linemen, including DJ Reader. It's noticeable. It's going to be more difficult. And I think for a mortal football team, it would be enough.
With a mortal leader.
Yeah. That would be enough to trip them up.
Yeah.
But we've watched all year is the Lions have avoided those pitfalls because they're a cut above, because they're not your typical football team. They're a special football team. And along the way, they've won me over. They've won a lot of you over. And I think you got to stick with them tonight. I expect the Lions to win tonight. Listen, anything can happen. It's an NFL game. It could be close. I expect the Lions to win tonight. I'm not hoping the Lions win. I expect it. And some of what you said is exactly that. It may need to be a game where you win with your offense. The Lions have the number one offense in the NFL. Pretty good spot if you need your offense to win. At home, indoors, golf, with all the weapons. You may have to possess the ball. I think TOP is going to be so important tonight. Keeping the ball away from Green Bay. Keeping your defense off the field. Detroit going on long. Sustained drives that they finish in the end zone. They have the best offense in football. That's the biggest reason I believe in them tonight, but it's not the only reason. The other one is what you said. Jordan Love, most interceptions per game this year. I got Branch. I got Joseph, and Joseph loves playing against the Packers. Mm-hmm. I get a takeaway or two, and that keeps the defense off the field. They find a way to get it done tonight. Shorthanded, battered and bruised, they find a way. They are that special football team.
And when you make a case like this, right, it can come across as they're never going to lose another game. Like I don't necessarily think that they're going to be a 16-1 team. I think it's more likely 15-2. I don't know where that loss comes, but you know, I guess the reason isn't going to be because of the injuries. Green Bay could show up tonight, like Milwaukee did on was it Friday night for the Pistons? Where I can't remember what night that game was. Sunday night, whatever.
2 days ago.
Was it Monday night? Oh, it seems like so long ago. where you know, and, hey, they just come out and they're just hitting on everything. Like we saw that, you know, sometimes with the Lions when they go every possession and they just score. Like you can have a team that shows up and they just, things don't go wrong for them. They're just hot and they can win a game. They could steal a game from you. But the reason that the reason that won't be is because of the injuries. I think this defense is still good enough to beat the Green Bay Packers. And then you take in the other two phases and it can be a dominant, dominant game.
I don't know what the other shows are going to do today. We just do our part. We're setting the tone in the morning. We expect the Lions to win. We've offered you a choice. Are you in camp expect to win or in camp hope to win? And this is a disclaimer. If you call in and you don't believe they're going to win today, we're not going to call you names. We just want you to show your work. If you don't see it the way we see it, that's okay. This is a tough spot for the Lions. What are we missing? Why would they lose this game? 248-539-9797.
I mean, I kind of outlined one of the reasons where Green Bay just shows up and you know, everything clicks on one night. It happens in sports.
If their defense is on the field a long time, they don't have the depth.
The Lions?
Yeah. If the Lions defense is on the field for a long time and it's Jacobs and they're running the ball and you're huffing and puffing and your defense is... that third quarter, that fourth quarter, and you get lionsed, right? They do what you want to do to them. It becomes this tug of war. Who's going to go on longer, more physical drives? And not just possessing the ball, but scoring touchdowns, because it could end up being a high-scoring game. I trust the Lions to win that game more than I do. And it's nothing against... Jacob's a good running back. LaFleur's a good coach. They're going to have some success offensively. The Lions will have more success.
Yeah, and you look at the secondary. And here's the other thing. When I compare last year's defense to this year's, we all love Alex Anzalone. I think he is an intense player. He's a leader of this defense. But as a player on the field, I think Jack Campbell is superior. I just do. From what he offers this team in terms of athletic ability, sideline to sideline, downhill, being able to drop back into coverage, his skill set is just greater than Alex Anzalone. And I don't want to disparage anything that Anzalone has done, but I think that's an upgrade. It was one that was forced because of injury, and we still saw Jack Campbell on the field all the time, and he was a good player. But position by position, he's an upgrade.
Texter says, I'm going to the game tonight, and I certainly hope the Lions win. That being said, I do believe the Packers are going to win, and I have placed $200 on the money line. That is an emotional hedge for me.
You bet $200 that the Packers would win?
They're going to.
Wow. That's a hefty bet, too. So if the Lions win,
he wins,
it's just,
I guess,
cost of doing business.
I guess you pay for the tickets and the bet.
That's from Mike in West Bloomfield.
Right, yeah.
Texter says, I'm going to make a bet that Kirby Joseph gets an interception tonight. Always does well against the Packers. And this texter says, crazy, but you got to think about it this way, guys. If they lose this game, we could be a wild card team. Like, what's at stake? We talk about how important this game is.
Yeah, but it's...
Well, they won't be a wild card team tomorrow morning, right?
No.
They'd wake up with two losses. Minnesota has two losses, and Detroit has the head-to-head tiebreaker.
Well, and they play Minnesota at the end of the year.
To settle the division if it comes down to it. But people have pointed out that they are
a fine line.
A loss here, a loss there, and they're the 5 seed.
It is frustrating.
Sure.
That this season there are still two other two-loss teams right there. That's pretty not much, not the norm. Maybe one year you might, like, one team, but not two. That is annoying. I still think that's the past talking to me when that I start thinking about that. You know, I see the Vikings there, and it's like, in reality, I think the Lions are such a step above them as a team, you know, and then the number one seed with the Eagles, you're just like, okay, come on. You're going to lose 3 or 4 games, right?
Any day now.
Yeah.
But that's, like I said, that's the past coming to me, and it's just, I can't completely shake it yet.
Greg's dying to say something.
You know who's unlucky? The Eagles, because they're in a tear and they're still behind the Lions. You know who else is unlucky?
Right.
The Vikings, because they're in a tear and they're still behind the Lions. Think of it as those teams are the unlucky ones because they are having great seasons and are still behind the Lions.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Lions fans are feeling the pressure because this is a new position. They've never been in the number one. Like, last year we were hoping, okay, if this happens, this happens, this happens, we could be a 1 seed.
But he doesn't have PTSD, and I do.
I think the expectations are part of this too, right? Like, for Minnesota, they never dreamed they'd be in a position to win this division in December. And here they are nipping at their heels, looking at the Lions injury report, probably going, yes, just drop one, open the door. And if I'm an Eagles fan, certainly the expectations are high there, but they're not the favorite to win the Super Bowl right now. So again, they're probably going, hey, just give us an inch. Give us just a little bit of room to jump in and steal that 1 seed away. And while Greg's right, it's all about how you frame this. We are framing it from our perspective as Lions fans, and you don't want to give up any ground. And this would be an NFC loss tonight if they lose. It's a critically important game.
But let's also, okay, I think that's a great exercise to go through. Looking at it from Minnesota's point of view, looking at it from the Eagles' point of view, what do we got to do to finally get in front of the Lions? Let's look at it from Green Bay. And we're looking at it from our perspective where, hey, defensive line's banged up. They'd like to run the ball. Well, what else are the Lions good at? We're really good at throwing the ball. Who's out for Green Bay?
Jair Alexander,
Ballantyne, who, you know, okay, whatever. He's a corner.
It's
depth. Yeah. And Edgerrin Cooper, who's their linebacker, who they use in coverage a lot. They rush him too, but that's a guy that's going to have to help cover Laporta and all some of these other, you know, mid-level passing game
targets. Yeah, he's a playmaker.
Targets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're looking at it from their perspective thinking, well, how do we stop this passing attack?
Calls to get to. Hope to win, expect to win. And if you don't believe they're winning tonight, we're not going to call you names, but you got to show your work. It's 97.1.
Hey, tackle all the NFL action on FanDuel. It's America's number one sportsbook because right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if you simply win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL, and it's all in one place. So when you get a hunch in the middle of the game, as we all do, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more, all on the same page where you're actually going to place your bets. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to join today, and you're going to get started with $150 in bonus bets if you just win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/Jansen to join. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We're going to take as many of these phone calls as we can before Carson Anderson. But, John, I have some surprise audio.
You do? Okay. I'm interested.
Matt Patricia.
Oh, come on.
Was on Good Morning Football today.
You're going to inject this into our game day?
Sadly, yes. This is cut number one of Matt Patricia from Good Morning Football. Just gushing. So happy for the guys. Happy for Detroit.
Hey, it's great.
Specifically talked about Frank Ragnow, and I want to point out that that's a guy that he made sure that...
Well, he did. They drafted him. Yeah. It was a great pick. That's good. I mean, he was his first draft pick. Not saying anything that we don't talk about.
Texter says, the feeling is not mutual, Patricia. We still hate you. All right, let's get back to the phones. 248.
You have to be grateful, though.
Grateful for what?
He provided us the opportunity to hire Dan Campbell.
Sure. I'm very grateful that he was so bad at his job that Dan Campbell is now the head coach of the Detroit Lions. And the culture that he highlighted is because Patricia failed to build a culture here, a winning culture here. Mm-hmm.
He's the one that's responsible for changing ownership's mindset.
Think about it. All the losers that the team had employed over the years, this was the one that finally broke through.
Let's go to the phones. I don't want to talk about Matty P anymore.
Justin, how you doing? You're on 97.1.
Not bad. How are you?
Good.
See, I don't expect them to win. I hope they win. I think they need to stop the run game from Green Bay. If they can stop Green Bay's run game, get a couple of stops and a couple of field goals, I think they can get it. But
a couple stops go a long way. Yep.
Yeah, that's it. You know, and Gibbs and Jacobs are probably going to have big days, but I don't think there's going to be too much in the air. I think it's just going to be a third down kind of game. Whoever wins on third down.
Well, I mean, I think that's got to be the game plan for Green Bay coming in. I don't know that they're... If I was devising a game plan against this defense, it would be to attack the run. And it wouldn't be on a Lee McSeal. I'd go up there with some of the code words, and this is what I would do. I would use some of the code words that the Lions had on their screen as the Packers' offensive code words. What was it? Thunder and lightning was one of them.
Khloe and Kardashian.
Julia and Roberts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd go up there and you'd have a run, right? If it's 24 to the right, 25 to the left. And wherever Lee McNeil lines up, I'm running opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably where, you know, Broderick Martin's going to be, or there's somebody else that is a quote-unquote backup.
Well, they're missing so many linebackers.
Just check to it.
And defensive linemen, right? The front seven's ravaged. They should try to run the ball. I mean, it's obvious with no Alex Anzalone, Malcolm Rodriguez, Derek Barnes, DJ Reader, Josh Pascal, Levi Onwuzurike, Marcus Davenport, Aiden Hutchinson. Like, all these guys from the front seven are missing. They should absolutely try to run it down Detroit's throat. And Detroit, if they get one or two stops to his point, possess the ball, give it right back to him with hey, we'll run it down your throat. Yeah. We're the physical team. You're coming into our house. Detroit's the better offense. Detroit's got the run game to get this done.
I'd throw the underlook at him. So you've got the 1 and a 5, which would be, to me, Aleem McNeil and probably Za'Darius Smith. I put him at the 5 technique. And then I'd put Broderick Martin over at the 3 and just tell him, hey, eat up double teams.
Yep.
And you know they're gonna run the ball at you. You probably cheat, you know, Jack Campbell that way a little bit. That's where you're gonna bring your run blitzes from. So there are a lot of different things that Aaron Glenn can do to cover up deficiency or to accentuate whatever it is that Broderick Martin, they believe he can do well.
Colin and Livonia, you're on 97.1. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Good. Yeah, you guys just mentioned it on that last call, but I would say that I am a hopeful tonight and not an expectant because I'm worried about our front seven and that Green Bay rushing offense.
Okay. I mean, I understand.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think, like, obviously we have the Xavier McKinney and Kirby Joseph show off, but I'm also worried about our pass game with the missing piece of Taylor Decker on Goff's backside there.
That is a concern. If I were to get one guy back, I think first I would say DJ Reader up front. Second, I would say Taylor Decker.
Yep.
The Decker thing, they've played without him a couple times, and the offense isn't as good, clearly, but they can be good enough without him.
Sure, and I thought Dan Skipper, I've been hard on Dan Skipper. Not a huge fan of him playing left tackle, but I thought last week he held his own against a very good Bears defensive front, let's not forget.
Let's get to Guy. You're on 97.1. What's going on?
Oh, God, I miss Detroit Sports Radio. You have no idea.
Where are you at now?
Yeah, I'm just streaming you guys. I'm in New Mexico. I've been streaming you guys for like weeks.
All right.
God bless technology. I miss pizza, sliders, conies. They have no good pizza down here. Anyway, I'm just going to change the word to believe. I don't expect them to. Expectations always seem to get me in trouble. And I don't hope they're going to win. I really believe they're going to win. I have been scouring. I think our Black Friday sale is going to show up. And I think you guys are going to be talking about that surprisingly next week. I also, can you give me some clarity on Mosley?
I think he's available,
yeah.
Fully available.
I always hate the unlisted little etch when you're following the injury reports. But, I just really believe that they're going to make it work. I think we're going to still put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and I think we're going to hold their rushing game. They ran four running backs last week against Miami, and they put up 120 yards. Jacobs only ran, 30 or 40 yards? I think he still has that tender ankle, and I don't think he's going to be much of a threat to us tonight. I really don't. Well, that's all I got. Yeah. I really appreciate your shows, man.
Hey, thanks, guy.